of your
Blog Talk Radio.
All across the world, people are gathering together to unite, to fight for Hanukkah rights.
Every year in late December, that's the time when we remember the things we owe to Judah Maccabee. But we also get reminded just how much we Jews get slighted. Do I think that we should change that? Probably. Why don't we get off from work or any of those other perks? We're just as proud of our big holiday. For music, hitmen, pigmen, no play by Charles Dickens, or special album by Michael Bublé.
What?
So we'll fight for Hanukkah rights as we light our Hanukkah lights, and we'll feel the winds of change begin to blow. So everybody listen and just ignore Milky Hitson, 'cause we've come so far and yet so far to go.
Blessings and greetings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive. And Torah Chaim instructions alive, Torah Chesed instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim instructions of mercies. This is now the 245th class of Soul Class, greasing the wheels of consciousness. Now we're hearing a song being performed as we're going to slowly fade it down by a group or a channel called 613 Sings. And this is a song that was produced in December of 2011, I believe, and it's called Hanukkah Rites, asking for equality and presentation of this holiday as it should be through the mass media and through all the culture. Now you might say, well, you know, this is something pertaining only to the nation of Israel, but I will humbly do so in my efforts today, this morning, so for the next few minutes, to elucidate on a Hasidic teaching by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which was, let's see, I think it was in Tavshin Mem Gimel, that would be 30 years ago, in 1982, where he talked about this coming Shabbos 30 years ago, about the spiritual implications of Hanukkah, and I want to relate to it on a universal level, so the inspirations for this humble effort now is being based on that, and for those of you who want to be in sync with the nation of Israel internationally, we'll be reading still from the book of Genesis, chapter 41, verse 1, until chapter 44, verse 17. We'll also be reading from the Haftarah, from the prophet Zechariah, from chapter 2, verses 14 to 17, and then chapter 1 through 10, still sniffling out a little bit, basically over 90%+, I'd say, of that virus flu I was trying to work with last week. So anyway, with that being said, let's go right into the presentation, and hopefully this will be fitting for your spiritual palate as we now talk about the following issues inspired by teaching by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Schneerson, 1982, Tavshin Mem Gimel, 5743 years blazing, grazing after original man and woman lived upon this earth, our common ancestor, Adam and Eve, Adam and Chava. So here we go. Miracles. Miracles attributable to memorable sports events. Miracles attributable to individual experiences occurring constantly. Miracles higher than nature. And then there are those miracles manifesting being the seemingly coarse garments of nature, hateva. Who is the source of miracles? Who created the universal experience of miracles, which can and in fact permeate Olam Atzilus, the world of intellect, Olam Habriya, the world of thought, Olam Adibur, the world of speech. Olam Amaisa, the world of action. We of Israel openly acknowledge, blessed souls, that blessed is the Creator, our Creator, all of our human family experiences, Creator, who made and makes miracles for our fathers in those days. So Hanukkah, this time of the year, today being the commemorating the fourth light of Hanukkah, and tonight the fifth night, we are historically recollecting at this time of Hanukkah miracles. Yes, we could point out to the great miracle of the weak defeating the strong, the relatively puny Hasmonean army, what the world calls the Maccabees, standing up to the world power in those days, ancient Greece. And I emphasize ancient Greece, not to be confused with the modern state of Greece. The miracle recall for 8 days relates to how 1 day of oil was sufficient to keep the menorah lit for an additional 7 days, which totals up to 8 days. I mean, there was enough oil for 1 day, and there was an additional 7 days of light generated by that menorah. So we are, in essence, celebrating, recalling, and last but not least, seeking an instruction which we can integrate within our modern age of communication, 21st century lives. Part of seeking how to integrate a historical fact within our modern lives is to examine what natural substances were conduits for eliciting miracles from the one who creates miracles, the Almighty Creator, the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the Infinite Creator. So we focus on the natural substance of shemen, of oil, in general, and more specifically, shemen zayit, or shemen zayis, olive oil. Olive oil, as one variety of oil, is distinguishable from other natural substances, like water and wine, which are also liquids. And if you were to do an experiment and, say, mix olive oil and wine together, or olive oil and water together, we all know it would be a no-brainer to easily distinguish which liquid would eventually float to the top. Now, a principle within Torah eternal instruction is that spirituality and the principles of spirituality eventually manifest via corporeal revelations or observations, which again chain back from their spiritual sources. So if oil, and we're talking about a special type of oil, olive oil, when mixed together, rises above wine, which is not a regular substance, not as regular, say, like water, or when wine mixes with water, which is a more regular substance found on the earth, human family experience, when we stop to recollect what is wine, the inner dimensions of Torah instruct us that wine is rooted with the divine source of bina, of understanding. Or when we start to discuss the nature of water, or where it's rooting from, within the spirituality, it's ruchniyut, makor ruchni, spiritual source, it's within the divine source of wisdom, of chachma. However, oil is something which transcends. Just as oil will transcend water if mixed together, oil will transcend wine if mixed together, oil rises up to its divine source of wisdom and understanding. For oil, we can say any oil, or specifically shemen zayit, olive oil, is rooted within a concealed wisdom, which is called chachma sati mo'ah, or chachma sati mo'ah, or the wisdom which is embedded within Keter, which is considered to be an olam of Ein Sof, a world of infinity, an intermediate world of the Ein Sof, the infinite creator, between the divine world of intellect, as we mentioned before, olam atzilut, and the divine world of godly delight, olam atainuk, or panimiyut keser, the inner dimension of the world of crown. Now, in a slightly related matter, the property of olive oil is also or was, at the historically speaking, was afforded the great merit of being designated as the substance used to dedicate the outer altar, the Mizbeach Chitzoni, in the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, where sacrifices were eventually offered upon it, and there were three designated places where these sacrifices were offered. After the point where Moses, the mighty Levite prophet, received the Torah at Har Sinai, 3,324 years plus years ago. It's almost about 3,324 and a half years ago. One place where the sacrifices were offered was in the Mishkan, the sanctuary, Beis HaMikdash 1 and 2, the first and second temple. Now such dedication, and where oil, olive oil, shemen zayit, was necessary to actualize to all the spiritual benefits which were accessible and accessed, and such as imbuing the individual person offering up the individual korban, the sacrifice, with individual atonement. There are also korbanot sacrifices which were offered up for sake of communal atonement for the nation of Israel. As well, there were sacrifices offered up as communal atonement for the nations of the world, Kol Bei Olam, the Bnei Noach, excuse me, the children of Noach. As well, korbanot, once offered on the altar, after it was anointed by the Shemen Mishcha, the anointing oil, which also had certain special spices mixed into it, generated peace in the world via the Korban Shlamim, the peace offerings. With that being said, we want to go down to a more tangible level of consciousness, which we all can relate to, as we take a peek for a few moments within the wonderful world of physical mechanics, and objectively observing as well the enhancement of efficiency and, in the majority of cases, the basic functionality where there is an application of not necessarily shemen zayit, olive oil, but oil itself, and via this allegory, not needing to be of olive oil, we know that oil is applied to, say, to a bicycle or a car engine before they hit the road to become eventually road ready, and far less likely to break down, which is a bicycle and a car were not created to break down, but rather to serve as a vehicle of transportation, for not to put oil on one's bicycle chain or certain critical points on the bicycle, or to put oil in the engine, we basically would be causing the car and a bike to be less efficient, which would be opposite its reasons to be. And we chose those two examples, a bike and a car, because they're vehicles of transportation, which means they're vehicles of elevation. So oil is connected to preparing another substance outside of itself to be an active agent in transporting merit in the form of either individual, national, or international atonement. And it causes an efficiency in terms of gaining greater favor within the eyes of the Most High, that one is conscious of the uses of oil, whether it be for holy purposes or for purposes which are connected to the functionality of transportational vehicles. However, blessed souls, a little snag we've encountered along the human family experience, especially in the last 130, 150 years, when we try to access this oil, it takes a lot of energy to extract what some people have also historically called black gold. And unfortunately, to the great pain endured by the human family experience, excavating for, retrieving, exporting, and importing oil, the black gold we just mentioned, has been the vessel for conflict within particular nations, within a nation itself, and between nations. And wars have been waged over this black gold, this physical black gold. However, blessed souls, When we contemplate the empowerment provided for us lovingly by a loving and caring and merciful Creator from within the perspective of the inner dimensions of Torah, Panimiyat HaTorah, we all on an individualistic, communal, international level can retrieve, export, and import the black gold of our soul as it relates to accessing our blessed portion of Chachma Satima'a, or Chachma Satima'a, the Chachma Shebekeser, wisdom that exists within the world of the Ein Sof, of the Infinite Creator, that can be accessed on the human experience level within elevating our consciousness. Yet accessing this Chachma Satima'a requires effort and toil, not unlike the effort to reveal the physical black gold, which we've mentioned already, oil, which is found all over the earth, sometimes in shallower areas of the earth, and sometimes in deeper areas of the earth. Chachma Satima'a, or Chachma Satima'a, is accessible to all human beings, because all of us have been blessed and anointed with the Tzelem Elohim via toiling in Torah teachings, both the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Oral Torah, and the Torah Shabbat, last but not least. Just as one can access certain secretive levels, known as Razin de Torah, of understanding, for say, like in the process, a type of learning called Iyun, analytical study, which can be understood by, say, saying crushing a grape. Now, what happens when you crush a grape? You have a substance, a liquid, which can readily be made into, say, grape juice, I know from my own personal experiences, and there's also, in the process, if one gets a little more sophisticated, one can refine it and eventually develop wine. Now, the grape on the surface of all observations can be eaten and be and serve as a very, very, you know, very nourishing type of food. But we're talking about going to the next level within accessing all the potentialities of the grape. So therefore, the grape is connected to the divine source of Bina, of understanding. Okay, and not and with even greater effort, as we see physically, as I've gone to displays, exhibitions, how do you produce olive oil? It's much harder to access olive oil than it is to get the juice out of the grape. It creates more crushing effort, a certain level of toiling. But in order to, that type of toiling, which is necessary, allows us to access the razin de razin, the secrets of the Torah, razin de razin de raisa, the Raita. Now, again, whether it be getting the secrets of the Torah or the secrets of the Torah, or the inner dimensions of the Torah, that we can have the following perspective if we're open to this type of perspective. Number one, okay, we can look at the differences, simply speaking, of the liquid substances of water, wine, and oil, as we've been doing a little bit already. Water is a substance which originally came from heaven, from the Almighty Himself, as all things do, but in a very direct fashion, as is testified at the beginning of the book of Genesis. You can see for yourself there. So water is considered to be a substance which comes from above normative reasoning. It has no taste in and of itself, but yet we can imbibe of this water. We can, so to speak, get a revelation or observation of the quality of the water and drink it, as we have been doing for thousands and thousands of years as part of the human family experience. And again, this relates to the idea of wisdom. Wisdom is something which in and of itself has no taste, but eventually can empower the next level of consciousness, which is associated with the grape, which is nurtured. I mean, there's no way, as far as I know, you can grow a grape without it being watered by water. Right? Now, with that being said, that the grape has to be cultivated. And when it is cultivated, you get a greater understanding is accessible. And we're just seeing why we're still having some board problems here. With that being said, when the grape is cultivated, one gets an understanding of the process of agriculture. You don't need any understanding for water. You just access it, you turn, open your faucet, and you get it. But the cultivation and the growing of the grape, and then taking it and crushing it, is revealing a substance which, if you look at the grape from the outside, you don't realize there's a juice in it until you crush it and you get a giloy helem, a revelation of something which previously was there but was concealed from the naked eye. And this is considered to be a revelation of that which is concealed. Now, when we talk about oil or the olive oil, the olive, again, relating to that level of consciousness called Chachma Sasima'a, or Chachma Satima'a, excuse me, we're talking about, again, from the outside, you certainly do not see the olive oil, which is to be found in the olive. If you look at the olive oil from the outside of the olive, the skin, it's only when you make not just a crushing, but a concerted effort, can you distill out, can you extract out that consciousness. Now, that type of oil which is elicited, you don't drink it. In fact, it is advised not to drink olive oil, but in and of itself, it can be damaging to a person. But when you mix it in with foods or other substance like oil to make a salad dressing, is highly nutritional, and is good for strengthening the body in various different ways. So this type of substance, olive oil or olive, is something which is way beyond reasoning, but if it is interfaced with, and the way we can interface with it is in such a way that we can access its hidden properties, namely the olive. And just as we deal with a concept in Torah, we can certainly, you know, receive Torah on the level of Chachma, meaning wisdom, like water, meaning that we can receive Torah from someone else, like a teacher, from a friend. And that's a nice, fine way. It can be considered a proper activity to engage in, to just hear someone talk words of Torah, like, say, I'm trying to do right now. However, blessed souls, in order to access the inner dimension of what I'm saying, it's not just sufficient just for you to hear the words that I'm saying. It's to maybe take some notes, and you can Google up some of the concepts that I'm talking about. And from there, so to speak, you're going to crush the concepts that I'm sharing with you and see what grape juice or wine or secrets that otherwise you are not aware of. Now, if your attention is sufficiently aroused by my humble efforts this morning, then you are more than welcome to go over the matter in a deeper fashion. Now, the first level, which is related to the grape or the juice or the wine that can be extracted from it, is again connected to the source of Bina, understanding of a concept. And you have to do some analytical reasoning. This Ian is called analysis or meditation or contemplation, analytical study. But at the level where you want to get the secret of the secret, meaning the implication with the implication, so to speak, not just to see the trees that you didn't see in that forest because you weren't looking for them, and then from the olive oil crushing experience or revelation experience, that you can get even more knowledge of not just what trees are in the forest or what forest, if it has a name, maybe you'll discover a new forest of consciousness in your own lifetime, blessed souls. So it's what things are interacting with that forest. And therefore, you grow, can expand in your way of thinking, and then hopefully share it with others to make it a better world. So, as we go back to the concept of miracles, and this whole idea of miracles as expressed by the holiday of Hanukkah relates to this idea of how if we can experience a little bit of iyun, a little bit of hisbonenus or hisbonenut, of meditation, of contemplation, of analytical study, we can ignite our own personal menorah within ourselves, the source of our seven emotive traits, which relate to chesed, the source of kindness within our intellectual awareness, or gevura, sense of might or restriction, because sometimes we have to restrict our consciousness in order to distill out what is known as teferis, the beauty of our emotive traits, and then the netzach, to persevere, to further embolden a positive, healthy emotional trait, and hold to it, to embellish it by doing whatever we feel is an embellishment of that beautifully new developed trait. And then the yesod, the foundational point of that beautiful emotional trait being developed within ourselves. And then the malchus of that trait, the kingship, is that it comes out and expresses itself outside of your human body experience to another person, of your people, of another people, of the entire world. And we're illuminating the world now with seven healthy emotional traits, one having a symbiotic relation with the other, tying back to these three levels of intellectual newly gained awareness when we contemplate on the inner dimension aspects of water, mayim, chokhma, yayin, bina, understanding, wine, understanding, and shemen, or more specifically, shemen zayis, which is chokhma, sa si ma'a, or sa ti ma'a. So this is Tanzos Gubin signing off, and again, I'm not here to offer the final word of any concept I try to share on this show or other productions we're trying to do. And we're going to sign off now with a song by the Maccabees. And with that being said, it's about a 3-minute song, and it's a song called Shine. And that's what we should be trying to do, bless us, to shine out into the creation. One of the things we have to shine out are viewpoints which reduce hatred and jealousy and unnecessary competition from within ourselves. Well, there is this idea we can compete against ourselves to make ourselves better, but to try to promote an idea which is practical, not just theological or just philosophical, that to prepare the world through acts of kindness, through acts of igniting our own consciousness towards a more worldly, more universal scheme, as the Creator would expect of us, as is our Father, and we as His children, and it should be in a way of a hava chad, one love, goral echad, one destiny kolano for all of us, but darchi shalom, in a peaceful way, darchi nom, in a pleasant way, to be continued, the hamshich, the ezer Hashem yisbreik, with the help of the Most High. And we're going to conclude with a young group called the Maccabees, and this song is called Shine. I believe this is their latest Hanukkah song, and the Maccabees videos you can check out on YouTube as the 613. Videos you can check out as well. That was SIX and then 1-3. Take care, everyone.
I see a life reflection, refraction. It is nothing more than a chemical reaction. It flickers and grows. Nobody knows how much we feel, how quickly it goes. Turn off the dark, with anguish, the night. Show the whole world for 8 days of twilight. Spinning down, spinning for we fight. Fight for the right to live by our own life. Let me see the light. Something to live by. Let me be the light. I need something to live by. Shall we see myself in my reflection? Let me shed the light in each direction. I want to see their eyes. A million times, a thousand times, a thousand times, to go around. The world that we live in, don't come strife. What is the life? We don't know another life. The dark is night, but the bright is light. Now time to truly shine. A little dedication, a little determination. Just one person to change our whole nation. And you see the light. Give me something to unify. Let me see the light.
Action.